Okay, so today we'd like to discuss a topic which is not one of the most well-known or most discussed topics in the Seder tonight, but it is a topic of some significant controversy, you may or may not be aware, and it relates, the most that it does relate to a sugya, it relates to the sugya on Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph. It has to do with the practice of quote-unquote stealing the afikoman. And this is a topic that actually has some controversy behind it, as I'd like to try to discuss a little bit. And I have to ask Mechil, I don't want to offend anyone, I know this is a widespread minig to steal the afikoman, have the children steal the afikoman Pesach night. It's actually not the minig of my family, and I'll plead the case over the next few minutes why I think there is what to consider on this issue, or why I prefer things the way that I do with my children, the way that we did as children, and some of the concerns that are connected with this. And just a spoiler alert, what I'm talking about. So in my house, we don't steal the afikoman. We don't have the children steal the afikoman. But rather, the father hides the afikoman, and the children are tasked with looking for it. And I personally believe that that is highly preferable, with all due respect again to those that have a different tradition. And let's talk about a little bit what are some of the issues. So first of all, where does this come from? So the idea of having children take the afikoman, so what's it based on? So the closest possible source is our Gemara on Daf Kuf Tes, where the Gemara talks about these different practices that would take place in order to keep the children awake, or in order to keep the children interested, and to keep them asking about the Seder. And regarding this, so we have a comment of Rashi and the Rashbam on the language of Chotfin Matzah. So what is this idea of Chotfin Matzah Shkolele Pesachim? That's the statement of Rabbi Elazar. Here it's the fifth line of the Daf of Kutas and Aleph. Tanya Elazar Omer, Chotfin Matzah Shkolele Pesachim, Yishvil Tinoka Shol Yishanim. That we grab matzos so that the children shouldn't sleep. So what does that mean, we grab matzos? So does that mean that the children should grab the matzos, should steal the matzos? How do you understand it? What do the Rishonim say? Do any of the Rishonim say that? Okay, Ari, what did you see?
Weren't there two views brought down in Rashi about whether it means that you're like taking it, like looking up the dinner plate, or maybe you're eating it very quickly, or maybe there was a septa that alluded to the idea of stealing the matzah?
And the idea of stealing the matzah that you're referring to, who's doing the stealing? Who's you? Just to be very specific here. Who are you talking to? Who's the you?
Probably the parents.
Okay, so what you seem to find here is that there are a couple of interpretations in the Rishonim. None of them are exactly what we're referring to here, at least on the surface. Right, so the language of Rashi, like you said, Rashi, it says we eat it quickly. That's what the grabbing connotation is supposed to be. Or perhaps the idea like the Rashbam brings also that idea of eating quickly, but also that you would lift up the plate and show it, so you'd grab in that sense, or he prefers the idea that actually you take it away. So the idea of keeping them awake, you take it away from the ketanim, because if they eat too much, they're going to get groggy, and they're going to get drowsy, and they're going to fall asleep, right? It's a completely different angle on it. And the idea of the Tosefta that you're referring to, so there it does sound like we're talking about the adults taking from each other. And the language is actually important, because talk about in English, to steal. So here the language is Goslin. And there is a key significance in the language, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And how about as far as the Rambam is concerned? So the Rambam's language in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, Parak Zayin Halacha Gimel, is Chotfin Matzah Zemi Adzeh, that we grab, that's a little language of the Gemara, it's a word the Gemara uses, that we grab the matzah one from the other, and the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid has the other interpretation, but still, it's not about the children stealing. It's about eating it quickly. If you looked in the Maram Chalava, so the Maram Chalava quotes the Rambam and changes a little bit. It says, Perish HaRambam, Gozlin Zemi Adzah, L'simcha, Kidei Shiyashalu HaTinokus Lo Yishadu. That they grab it, they steal it from each other, the adults steal it from each other, so that the kids will ask, what is going on here? This is very unusual behavior for my parents at the dinner table. This is not what I usually see. They'll ask about that, and they won't get bored and fall asleep. So here we see, if this is the source, this notion of chotzen es hamatzos, our Gemara, so there are many interpretations in the Rishonim, and none of them really are directly about the child taking it. Now, that's as far as Rishonim are concerned. In the Chok Yaakov, he does write that he thinks that perhaps this could explain the minig, that he refers specifically to the Rambam, and his language is, V'yafshir shemizan ispashet haminig, sheminichel etinokas midinos eilu lachtof afikomen, shalidezer lo yishan av yisar yishol, so that we let the children take it, so we let the children grab it, so that is quoted in the Chok Yaakov as based on this particular language, the Rambam. Now, it's clearly, as the later Sfarim point out, and as you can see in your own, it's not directly in the language of the Rambam. It's an expansion on the language of the Rambam, and really taking it in a different direction. So it still leaves us with requirements of more explanation, but that's essentially what we have as far as the earlier sources. So really this Chok Yaakov is the earlier source that's quoted as giving a basis for that practice of the children taking it. There are a few other references in some earlier Sfarim in the Sefer Noah Kitzon Yosef. So he has a reference to such an idea about the Nairim, the children, Gonvim Hafikomen. And here, this is closest to the minig that I'm going to kind of try to discourage you from, but this description here is talking about the children stealing the afikomen and using the language of Gneva, kidei likach eza chefetz me'avim, shiach shulam afikomen, demand a ransom, and ki mitos kach anarim yin arim mishen osam, v'yisapri yisiyas mitzrayim. So ha'ben ha'chacham shol v'yamal yishem kol mishol osam. So that's going to provoke discussion and questioning about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So in this Sefer Noah Kitzon Yosef, that is kind of closest to what is perhaps that custom that we're going to be discussing in a little more detail. There are also a few other suggestions, some will mention now, some will mention later, but just to have a drop more synergy, that in the Sefer Michta Sofer, he has a whole other aspect to it, that there is a component of remembering the nace, that you want to thank the dogs for not barking, as the Pasuk indicates. And we're grateful the dogs didn't create a whole taram with their barking. And that actually, there's a reference here, it's a little more synergy to today's Daf Yomi, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel in Sachem, where the Gemara talks about the benefits of living in a city where you have a dog that will bark to scare off the ganavim. So perhaps there is this idea that you have this act of Geneva to commemorate and, so to speak, to thank the dogs for not scaring off the Ganavim as they normally would do that night, not making a noise to alert to what's going on. So that's a little bit extra Dafyomi synergy and kind of a more remote suggestion. But that's some of the basis for what you see in the literature for this practice. However, there are many who were opposed to this practice. And in many of the various Hasidic groups, it's recorded that they did not have this practice. And many Gedolim of the Misnagdim also had opposition to this practice for various reasons. And I'd like to try to consider that for a few minutes and to try to address that. So, first of all, one objection is probably not the one that would come to your mind, so I'll just mention it first. To quote the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, that to let the children steal the Afikoman is a problem, thought from perhaps an unexpected direction, that there is the obligation to protect the Afikoman. That if the Afikoman is supposed to represent the Korban Pesach, so then it should be guarded. It shouldn't be left vulnerable to being grabbed, to being purloined. But the father hides it away in order to protect it. And the idea that the language of Tzofen, the Seder plate, and the reference to Afikoman, is reflective of this idea that it's hidden and protected. So Reb Chaim raised this objection from an unexpected direction, perhaps, that to allow the Afikoman to be stolen is going to be a neglect of this obligation of protection that is reflected in its role as representing the Korban Pesach. Zach?
I was thinking that I didn't really understand that so much because, like, do you really treat it like Kachim? Like, we don't burn it if we leave it over.
Okay. Well, that point is well taken. It's a good question how far you would have to take it. You know, the idea that it should be treated like kudshim completely is maybe more than we need. You know, it could be that during the course of the Seder that it should be treated in a way that fits its role as a zechel of Korban Pesach. It wouldn't necessarily mean that the halachos of kudshim as a whole apply to it, but you're right, certainly a mechudish idea. Yeah, again, we're not saying that the actual halachas are going to apply in the same way, but the notion of it being a zecher and that sticking to elements that support that idea of a zecher, I think that's where he's coming from. Okay, so that I mentioned first because it's the more unexpected kind of objection. But where else do you think there is an objection from based on what you may have seen this morning and what you can perhaps intuit? Why do you think there might be a perhaps more significant objection from a number of directions that there's a bigger issue here? What am I getting at? So there is a prohibition, the Gemara says, Maseches Bava Metzia, that Darshan is the language of the Psukim, Lo Signovu, Psukim and Parshas Kedoshim, that we are prohibited to steal. And that prohibition is an extra language here, an extra prohibition in that pasuk. So the Gemara tries to understand what the message is of the extra language here of Lo Signovu. And the Gemara basically makes the point that we're not allowed to steal even if we plan on returning it. And the Gemara gives a couple of examples of what that would mean. The most well-known is the first of them, Lo Signov Almanas Lamekat, that you shouldn't steal even for the purpose Lamekat. What does Lamekat mean? So some of the Rishonim understand it means to irritate, to annoy, and that basically it means to steal as a practical joke. So in other words, if you would take something without any intent to keep it, you plan on giving it right back, so You might think that's permitted. The Gemara says that that's prohibited also. Now, just to clarify, so we're not talking about taking something and giving it back, but using it in between. Because then, that would be what we call shol shalom midas, and that's also a prohibition. So to take something and use it, even if you give it back, that's also in the parsha of Gzeila, that we already know. But here the Gemara is telling us an extra idea that even without using it, but just taking it for the sake of taking it, which could be another possible translation of Almanas Lameka from the language of Nikita, that's meaning taking it to take. If you're taking it just for the taking, but not for any purpose beyond the taking, so that still is a prohibition. And a couple of other reasons why you might want to do that, maybe it's not just a practical joke, some are in the Gemara and some are in the commentaries interpreting this. You know, it could be that you want to teach the guy a lesson. Maybe he leaves his property exposed and he doesn't realize that he's risking having it stolen. So you want to teach him to protect his property. Or the Gemara mentions the idea, Amanas L'shalim Teshlumei Kefal, that maybe you are trying to do some kind of a modified Robin Hood plan. Instead of stealing from the rich and giving to the poor, you want to steal from the poor to give back to the poor. That you figure that you want to get money to somebody who's too proud to accept it, perhaps. So you figure, okay, here's a roundabout plan. I'll steal their property, and I'll get caught with the stolen property. I'll have to pay kefil. And that will end up profiting them. So, sorry, that's still prohibited. Even Geneva, for that noble purpose, is still prohibited. So it emerges that you have here a prohibition to steal even when you plan on returning. So, yeah, Zach?
It seems to me that all of these cases are not cases when people don't, everyone agrees that's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Like, if someone's playing basketball, you're allowed to steal the ball because that's the game.
So that's what you think. I spoke. Yes, I know that's for sure a good simon. But I and Lamaisa, you're right. And I spoke actually. It's funny. I spoke the other night about issues of March Madness, and I was trying to think of a basketball issue to talk about. I actually didn't think of that one. I should have brought that up. That would have been a good topic to talk about also. But you're right, and there are probably some very crucial differences. So hopefully, over the course of the next few minutes, you'll see why that might be different. But I'll split the issue. On the one hand, what you're saying might be the answer, but it doesn't satisfy me, and you'll see why over the next few minutes. But it's not to dismiss it totally, because you might be correct. That might be the answer, and again, we have to be careful to be Malami Tzchus and Klal Yisrael. There's no question that much of Klal Yisrael has this practice, and it has to have a defense, and defense is also a basketball lesson. So it may be that what you're saying is the answer, but I'll also hopefully sketch out over the next few minutes why there might still be some room to disagree. So what emerges from the Gemara in Bava Metzia is that there's a prohibition to steal something even temporarily. And it's open to discussion, is that an din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? If you want to say that it is a din d'oraisa, the Gemara quotes the pasuk, so then there's also room to be mistapek. Is the Gemara telling us that it's part of the din of Geneva, and it's just that we need to be told this because we could have thought that Geneva doesn't apply if you're not keeping the item? Or is the Gemara telling us there's an extra din, that Geneva is when you're going to keep it, and when you're not keeping it, there's a separate din of Gonev Omanas Lameka. This could have many, many nafkaminas. So, for example, if you call it literal Geneva, so is a person Pasuleidus. Rav Yosef Engel has a tshuva about that, and we haven't referred too much to his Sefer of Tshuvas. We referred to a lot of his other writing. There's a Sefer of Tshuvas called Tshuvas Ben Paras, where he has a tshuva along those lines, that somebody who steals even temporarily is considered to be a ganav and Pasuleidus. Has many other nafkaminas. It's a whole fascinating sugya, exactly how far to go with this comparison. But a lot of attention, and what's particularly relevant for us here, is the language of the Rambam, which is also copied in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch both have the language that we're not permitted to steal even temporarily. Why? Kidei shelo yargil atzmo b'kach. That we are worried that you will develop the practice of being a ganav. That you will train yourself in the act of sneaky stealing. So that's very significant. There are some who said that the language, the Rambam, of making it a concern of what it will develop within you, that makes it sound like it's a derabanan, like it's a gezeira because of this issue. Personally, I'm not sure why that has to be, because first of all, we have spent much time this year talking about the notion of the siag d'oraisa, that it's possible that something can be a protective concern and still be a dim in HaTorah. But beyond that, I'm not even sure if the Rambam is saying this is a siag. I wouldn't necessarily interpret it that way. I think he's explaining tameh hamitzvos, and that this is the same kind of language you see in the Sefer HaChinuch in every mitzvah. Or the Rambam in the Maravuchim, that he's saying that a mitzvah exists because it connects to a certain midah or a certain broader concern. I don't think he even means it here necessarily as a language of siag. So I don't know if this has to mean that it's a derabanan for those two reasons, but in any event, that's the language of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch. And if that's the case, so then it suggests that we're not dealing here with an avera ben adam l'chavero, that it's not something that necessarily is given to mechila, and that it's not about the victim. Now, you could have said that it is about the victim. That's how some understand the idea of going able manasa meka. So, for example, Viruchim Fishel Perlo, in his comments to Rav Sajagon, so he explains that the issue is that whenever you rob somebody, whenever you're gone from somebody. So there's two problems. One problem is that you are depriving them of their monetary property. And the second problem is that you were causing them great anguish. So maybe the chiddush of this Gemara is that if you cause them the anguish, even without depriving them of their property in an ongoing way, so that's still considered to be a prohibition. So that would sound like it's a prohibition, but al mechaveru, it's just a different aspect. You know, parenthetically, there was a view of the Shita Mekubetzos quotes of Ben Tam that has a very surprising view here. It's very difficult to accept that Ben Tam maintained that the person is going to keep it. It's just that he's doing it with this motive of amanas lameka. It's very hard to understand how that would make it any different than any regular gneiva or gzeila, because once you're keeping it forever, so then for sure the victim's not going to care what your motive is. All he's going to know is he doesn't have it anymore. But the reason he says that is because to just take it and give it right back, says that's maisim b'chol yom. People do that all the time, so it's hard to imagine that that is prohibited. So Ksos HaChoshen discusses that, and others discuss that, and they say it could be Maisim L'chol Yom, it could still be wrong. Lashon Hara is also Maisim L'chol Yom. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's Mutter. So it's a very difficult position to rely on. So it sounds like from all the other Rishonim that for sure you're giving it back, and yet there is still this prohibition. And the language of the Rambam is telling us that maybe it's not an Avera Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's not about offending the other guy. But it's because of the midos concern that this will train you in the path of being a ganav, the path of being sneaky, and therefore it is bad midos. So this, I believe, is a major concern here, that have your children be trained in the idea of how to act like a ganav does raise the specter of this concern of Gonev Almanas Lameka. Now, Zach is correct that there could be room to defend it, and it should certainly look to be Melamed Chosen Klal Yisrael, that don't we find that there are situations where this seems to be accepted. And on the surface, it seems like that, and there are those who invoke that idea, and to some extent, based on the sources that surround this Gemara and some other sources as well, happens to have had an exchange with a wonderful Talmid Chacham, Mechaber Svarim, who we've mentioned in the past, by Tzvika Reisman, who published an article about this particular idea, and I actually corresponded with him, and he printed it in the Sefer as well. The correspondence had a little bit of a back and forth about this, but he worked off that premise that we find in the context of Purim and in the context of other celebrations that Derech Simcha, as a part of the celebration, is to have this mutual agreement, this mutual mechila, to allow people to grab from each other and to assume that they're not makbid and that what would otherwise be gezeila should be okay in order to enhance the simcha of the day. And to a certain extent, that seems consistent with the language of our Gemara here about chotfin and with the Rambam's phrasing about what exactly is happening in celebration of the day. The possible problem is, though, that there is room to distinguish between Gneva and Gezela for these purposes. And it's a big distinction that when it comes to Gezela, so Gezela happens out in the open. And you violate Gezela simply by grabbing somebody else's property without their permission. So if we have an expectation that everybody is mocho, that everybody's okay with it, so then we can say, all right, so then there's no prohibition of gezeila, and that would happen on Purim or at a wedding or other contexts in which this was understood to be a part of the celebration. So people allow each other to grab their property, and they're not makbid, and that kind of stealing, so to speak, is not going to be prohibited. However, geneva is different, and geneva involves an aspect of sneakiness. And that the other person does not know that you are taking it from them. And when the Rambam says that there is a concern, shlo yagel atzmo b'kach, so he seems to be referring to this idea that if you are doing something in a sneaky way, so that is going to instill within you a tradition of sneakiness. And that's where you have a concern, and the sources that allow gezeila don't necessarily help as far as that's concerned. And we have some indications to strengthen that point, but first, Ari, you have a comment?
Yeah, I don't understand how we're saying this is sneaky, like the formalized part of the Seder, when you know, like, I know at exactly 10:30 tonight that I'm going to take your piece of matzah, that's going to happen. So I don't know if it's sneaky in any way. And moreover, I don't know if there's any, like, formalistic, like, kinyanim that are happening when you take it, because presumably, like, the children of the household, they're, when they take, like, a piece of matzah to eat, they're not making a kinyan to say, this was my father's, and now it's fine. It's like all one shared collective meal. So I don't know how we can say that you're stealing either Gneva or Gezela, because it doesn't seem to be leaving anyone to shoot to me.
Okay, so you're actually focusing specifically on the non-Gneva components, though. So you're focusing, we talk about kinyanim, and you talk about other aspects like that, about a collective property, which happens to be actually a whole separate discussion, because it gets into the question of whether matzah requires lachem, and is there a requirement, let's say, when you have guests over at the Seder, do they actually formally acquire the matzah for themselves? It's actually a whole interesting discussion of a separate nature. But everything that you've mentioned there is referring to the mamonis component. And Geneva is not about the moment, or the Geneva, especially Amanas Lamekat issue, is not about the momentous component. That essentially, as Chaim Brisker explained, in a different context, that the difference between Geneva and Gezela is that essentially Geneva is Gezela plus. That Gezela is depriving someone of their property, and Geneva is depriving somebody of their property in a sneaky way. So it's that extra part of sneakiness that is an additional concern here. And that's not necessarily covered by what you described, that exactly 1032 they're going to take it as a notion. If this is the fact, again, they're different than Hagam had to do this. That's why I'm suggesting a modification which may be closer to what you're describing. But the idea that the children are trying to find a time when the father's not looking to sneak it away from him and that he won't notice at the time. Now, again, I have to emphasize again and again that there are many Gedolim of Kedoshim, much greater people than me, who have this practice and are happy with it. So I don't think your defenses are to be dismissed. I'm just still explaining what the other considerations are. But there is still a significant difference between the Geneva aspect, which is separate from all of the momentous issues that you're talking about, and this idea of sneakiness, which is an extra concern. And just to mention two additional aspects that highlight that as well. So first of all, the Gemara says in the name of Ben Bagbag that Ben Bagbag emphasized that there are circumstances where, let's say, somebody takes your property and it's clearly your property and the only way you have to recover it is to go take it. So sometimes you're allowed to do that. We say, a person has the right to just take back property that is his. But Ben Bagbag says that you should be careful not to break into the guy's house and sneak into the back door like a ganav, but you should just go in through the front door and take it. That even when you're clearly entitled from a monetary perspective, the idea of not acting like a ganav is still important, even separated out from the momentous aspect. And it's also interesting that there is a view that some of the poskim on the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur and the Bach and the Shach quote the idea that the prohibition of Gonev Amanas Lamekas does not apply to Gozo Amanas Lamekas. That if you take something openly with the intention of giving it right back, then it doesn't apply. Some use that to explain the Gemara at the end of the first parak of Bava Basra. It's a little bit of a bridge. That's the agenda for next year, the first parak of Bava Basra. So there the Gemara says that Eov, who we understood to be a righteous man, that Eov would steal the fields of Yesomim. So that doesn't sound so righteous, to steal orphan fields, that sounds pretty bad. So the Gemara explains that no, it was righteous, it was Staka, Gemara says, because he would flip them, he would make them more valuable than give them back, so he would end up profiting the Yesomim. So still, before Shem asked, but it sounds like that's Gonev Omanas L'Mekat, that's not permitted. Gemara said that Gonev Amanas L'Shalim Teshlumei Kefil is also a problem, but even if you're trying to profit the victim, it's still a concern. So how is this justified? So some say, well, maybe this is not real Geneva, it's not a part of the Mitzvos B'nai Noach, so therefore they say it's a separate thing, but it's not included in actual Gezel, so it's not prohibited for B'nai Noach, and if he wasn't Jewish, so then that could explain how he could be allowed to do it. But others explain that this was Gzela. He did it openly. It wasn't Geneva. And Gzela is not subject to Amanas Lameka. Now, I have to acknowledge that those who say that, they have a different path to explaining why that is. But we could also explain it based on this idea, that if the issue is the sneakiness, so then if you don't have sneakiness, if you're doing it in the open, so that's not necessarily the same issue. There was a fascinating correspondence about this in the journal Tchumen many years ago, and it was also published in English, because for a while they were publishing English editions of the articles in Tchumen. It was called Crossroads. So there was an article in Tchumen that somebody wrote that when a teacher confiscates the property of students, that he's not allowed to do that, that that's considered to be theft, and even if he gives it back, it's still theft because it's going to have Amanas L'Mekat. And a teacher is not allowed to take the property of the students, even temporarily. And the editor of the journal, he was very opposed to this whole premise, that's not true. And the main reason why he was opposed to the premise, the big issue, is he says that it's not stealing, it's Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker, that basically the teacher is the government in that context. And the teacher has the right to do what he needs to do in order to keep order. And the same way the government can confiscate property in order to keep order. So too, the teacher is the king in his classroom, and also the parents are sent to the school. They understand that's the deal, so it's not the halal an issue of stealing. That was the editor's perspective. But as a side point, he mentioned that and don't say that it's a problem of Geneva Aslam Amanasamekas, because it's Gzela, if it would be. If it would be a type of stealing, it would be Gzela, it wouldn't be Geneva, because the teacher is not going to sneak it out of the student's backpack. The teacher is going to take it openly. So the concern would have been Gzela, and Gzela Amanasamekas doesn't have the same issue. That's how the editor assumed. So the premise there seems to be that there's a significant difference between that which is taken out in the open and that which is taken in a sneaky way. And therefore, the sources which, again, Heilige, very well-qualified people are invoking to defend this practice, and certainly cannot dismiss that perspective, but just as a ha'ara, they are mostly in the context of gezeila, of things that are done openly, and I think that's the case with the basketball games as well, and therefore that doesn't necessarily address all the concerns. And just to kind of say a little more about this, so first just to mention two things that I've seen in later Sfarim that I find very, very difficult, and I think also contribute to just how problematic this practice could be, as much as they are written in support of the practice, I think they actually bring about bigger issues. So one, in some Sfarim, they talk about the idea that if we have the tradition that when Yaakov got the brachos from Yitzchak, that night, that was Pesach night, and he was serving in the Afikoman at the time. So since Yaakov engaged in Mirma, he engaged in trickery in order to take the brachos, so we commemorate that by engaging in trickery in order to take the Afikoman. So the reason I find that very, very problematic is that we have sources that discuss the Rashid Karbiyavna, the Chodos Kornel Bracha, has a whole essay about this over there in Parshas Toldos. Bezalel Budinsky and his sefer from Parshas Toldos has a whole discussion about this also, that Yaakov was very concerned about the impact of the trickery, and that he davened Hatzileini Misfa Sheker, that Sheker shouldn't have any impact on his descendants and on his neshama, and that he took certain measures to make sure that it wouldn't seep into him. So the idea that we should specifically commemorate the Mirma as a kavod to Yaakov would seem to be very much against his wishes, would seem to be the opposite of what he wanted. And it seems to be very difficult to say that this is something that we should perpetuate as some kind of a kavod to Yaakov. It seems to be very much the opposite. It would seem to me to be comparable to saying that if one day there was one Shabbos that was a pikuach nefesh situation, so somebody correctly was mechal Shabbos in order to save the life of the sick person, so hakar satov to him for saving this person's life, so forever after will be mechal Shabbos in order to commemorate that. So that's the last thing anybody would want. They had to be mechal Shabbos because it was an urgent situation, but the ikur was that he saved the person's life. So we don't focus on the chilul Shabbos and try to do that again. We focus on being makar tov for him saving his life. So to hear, okay, so Yaakov had to do what he had to do, but the idea that we should perpetuate the Mirma seems to be very, very difficult and seems to be contrary to Yaakov's wishes based on what the Midrashim described about his concern that this would be something that would carry over into future generations. What also seems to me to be very striking, I put on the Makoros this morning to look at the Gemara Maseches Sukkah, that there is a Gemara that says in the end of Maseches Sukkah, towards the end of Sukkah, that in general you have to be careful about sheker, but even when there might be some justification, you have to be more careful when it comes to a child. So it was very surprising. I've seen in some Sfarim that say, based on that Gemara, that when you're ransoming back the Afikoman, that if the child asks for something very big in order to get the Afikoman back, so you could make a case that you're not really mechuyev to carry out that promise. But they say you should do it anyway, because otherwise you might be teaching the child dishonesty, that you made a promise that you're not going to follow through with, and that's what the Gemara says in Sukkah, that you shouldn't make a commitment to a child, even if otherwise there might be grounds to break it, but you shouldn't make a commitment to a child that you're not going to follow through with because you're teaching them to lie. So to invoke that concern as a reason why you should follow through with the ransom, when the whole thing is that you were teaching them to steal your stuff and ransom it, seems like a very weird place to find the place to focus. You would think that maybe the whole practice brings about this concern of teaching them to act in a dishonest fashion. And this is, in general, a concern that we have, especially when it comes to children, that we have to be extra careful not to have them misunderstand. So, for example, Mari Viravi, Bayeron Levine, the Chetzadik Levracha, whose Yortzei was on Pesach, he wrote that, based on this Gemara, he quoted a psak that Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others had, that a number of poskim pointed this point out, that let's say sometimes somebody calls an individual at home, and the individual isn't able to come to the phone, is too busy, so he tells his wife, he says, tell him I'm not home. So he really is home, but he doesn't want to say to the person, I'm not interested in speaking to you right now, so he tells his wife to say he's not home. So there probably is justification for that, because Gemara says it's permissible to be less than 100% honest when it's Lamad HaShalom. You're just trying not to insult the guy. So to tell your wife to tell him you're not home, that's probably justifiable. But, he said, to tell your 5-year-old son to say on the phone that you're not home, that's a much bigger problem, because your wife is going to understand the different cheshbonas here, but your son is just going to think that it's okay to lie. So, therefore, to create that impression where he's not going to understand the cheshbonas, that's a bigger concern. It's probably parallel to Reb Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that was very, very controversial, with a lot of opposition to it, that Reb Moshe said that you shouldn't ask a student to basically turn in other students for their misbehavior because you're teaching them Lashon Hara. You're teaching them to speak badly about others. And many, many other poskim were very upset about that because they said that Lahalacha sometimes is Lashon Hara and sometimes it's the Toela. So if somebody is doing the wrong thing and needs to be stopped, so then it would be the Toela. So why shouldn't a student be taught the difference between Toela and an appropriate Lashon Hara? So presumably what Reb Moshe was getting at, there was a lot of back and forth about this tshuva, so it depends on how old they are and how well they're able to understand nuances. And that sometimes when an adult might have been able to understand, okay, there are conflicting factors here and we have to decide what's more important, but a child may not be able to understand that, and all the child's going to see is that you're teaching him Lashon Hara, teaching it to speak Lashon Hara. So presumably it's of the same kind of concern. So it seems to me to be very surprising to say, oh, because that Gemara in Sukkah and says that you have to be careful not to teach children to lie, that that means that you should follow through with the ransom. I think it would maybe mean that the whole plan is a little bit problematic, that teaching them to steal from you and then ransom back is itself of the nature of this concern that the Gemara has. Now again, I have to emphasize again and again that many great tzaddikim do have this practice, so do not want to deny the validity of the defense, but there are many, many who did raise objections. And if you look in Rabbi Reisman Sefer, the Ratz Kitzvi, on the volume about Ketanim, where he has this correspondence between myself and him about this topic, he does have many, many other letters, and many do bring various objections and other practices along these lines. And would also add that, especially that Pesach time, this is something we should be even more careful about. So first of all, the Seder night is all about Chinuch. So if that's the case, we have to be especially careful what messages we're sending in the educational realm. And therefore, this is an added issue to be aware of. And especially in Dinei Mamonos, that Pesach overall, and we'll discuss this, I think this has implications for how we understand Mechiras Chametz also. We'll try to say a little bit about this, time permitting, before Pesach. But Pesach time, we have to be especially careful about Dinei Mamonos and the message of Dinei Mamonos, because if we're focused on past and future Geulos, so the Smag wrote that the reason Klal Yisrael is not yet redeemed is because they don't have a perfect reputation as honest among the nations of the world, and that we have to be very careful to make sure that we are actually and perceived as being people of complete honesty so that the Geula will be possible. Otherwise, there'll be a Chil Hashem. And in fact, the Orchaz Chaim, the Sphinker of, the Orchaz Chaim writes especially that we should get rid of this minhag of having the children steal the Afikoman for exactly that reason. He happened to mention, he said, there were those who understood it, and he thought this was a bad thing, he said there were those who understood it as a zecher to the idea that the Jews cleaned out the Mitzrayim on the way out of Mitzrayim, and therefore also we try to evoke that concept by stealing, and that's what people think is going on, and it presents a terrible image, and it's a chol Hashem, and you shouldn't do it for that reason. So I think there is a valid concern that comes along with that, and that's something also to be aware of. But, to emphasize one more time with a little bit of a spin, but there is a big tradition behind this as well, so it's important to be melamed zchus, but not only because we always want to be melamed zchus and Klal Yisrael, but there's an additional reason why it is kedai to be melamed zchus here, and that goes to the issue itself. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was among those who was quoted as having a big objection to this idea of stealing the Afikoman, but he's also quoted as saying that if you are going to have this practice, he thought that it's especially important, you shouldn't call it that. You shouldn't call it stealing the Afikoman. You should call it taking the Afikoman or grabbing the Afikoman, because the very language of stealing is going to create that mentality that it's okay to steal. So if you're going to do it, then at least it should be framed in a way that makes it clear that we're not talking about stealing in the normal sense, and that one shouldn't get the impression that that is justified. So I think to the same extent that the language is significant, so too the limud zchus has an additional value to it. So on top of the value of being melamed zchus and Klal Yisrael in general, but here especially that if we are going to uphold this practice, so it's important that it be explained, that it be clarified that this isn't a normal geneva in the general sense for whatever reason, either because there is mechila, because it is prearranged, because it is with the active encouragement of the quote-unquote victim here, because it is our simcha, all of the various justifications that are mentioned, it's important to keep those in mind, because if it is going to happen, then it should be clear that it's not a geneva in the normal sense. This is not something that we would endorse under normal circumstances, and I think that's of a piece with what Rav Shlomo Zalman said, that if it is going to be the practice, and it shouldn't be called stealing, it shouldn't be called geneva, because it's important to emphasize how this is different from any other type of stealing, and it shouldn't be something that should be a practice, and that itself will play a role in addressing the Rambam's concern, the Shulchan Aruch's concern, that it shouldn't be a hergel. Does that make sense? Any aris about that? Any thoughts? Further questions? Okay, so we'll just quickly recap, and then again our agenda for tomorrow, and we hope to be in person, is I think we'll skip to Kofi Dalit. I'll let you know if we add anything in between, but that's the rough plan between now, which will again be Daf Yomi for tomorrow, so we'll be on track with that. And just to quickly recap what we spoke about today, so I mentioned that there is this practice of stealing the Afikoman that many have, and many Gedolim Torah have, based on possibly based on our Gemara and Kuftas, which talks about Chosin and Hamatos. We saw that none of the Rishonim understand it that way. The Rishonim have different understandings, either that you eat quickly, or you take it away from the table, or you take it away from the children, so they shouldn't become drowsy, or maybe that you grab it from each other in front of the children, but none of them have it explicitly that the children take it. The Chok Yaakov does have that idea based on the Rambam, although it's certainly not clearly in his language. And there was also those who connected it a little more remotely to today's daf, to the idea of recognizing our gratitude to the dogs for not barking. But that's what you have in the early tradition. And there are those also who object. And so we mentioned that some of the objections, Reb Chaim's objection, that you have to protect the afikomen because it is echel korban pesach, and that's not going to happen if you let the children steal it. But the bigger objection from the Gemara of lo signav almanas lameka, that you can't steal something even temporarily, and the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, based on the language of the Rambam, that it's a concern shlo yargal atzmo v'kach, that basically it's about the midah of sneakiness, which sounds like it's not even a very benal machavero, it's not up to the victim to be mofo. It's got its own independent concern, as we find supported by some other possible sources. So there are those who defend this by saying that it's Darach Simcha, and it's based on other sources where we find, in the context of Purim, in the context of weddings, that there was permission given to grab things from other people, what would otherwise be Gzela, is permitted because it's Darach Simcha and there's Mechila, and that may indeed be a valid defense, and it does work with the context of our Gemara. But so the problem is, there also seems to be a big distinction between Gzela and Geneva. Gzela takes place in the open. Geneva takes place in the dark, is sneaky, and it's the sneakiness that is the concern, and that may separate it significantly from those suggestions, especially where we find that there are some who say, for different reasons, that Gozel Omanas Lamekat is not usher. So issues like Ben Babak's position that even when you have the rights of the property that you're taking, you shouldn't take it in a sneaky way, you should take it openly. So all of that is a significant concern as well. And so we mentioned a few other points. Also, that there are those who say that this is done to commemorate Yaakov taking the brachas b'mirma, which is also about the afikom. This is very difficult because so many sources indicate that Yaakov was very worried that this midah of mirma would be passed on. So it would seem like we would not want to dafka commemorate that as an aspect to hold up. And that there are some who make a surprising reference to Gemara and Sukkah that you should follow through on the ransom in order not to teach the children to lie. And it would think, I'll have you shown them on Achdam and Tzairim that the whole plan of taking them, telling them to take it and ransom it, would itself be a issue of teaching them to lie, and especially Seder night when we're more concerned about chinuch, and especially Pesach when we're concerned about being very above board in all issues of mamonos, all the more so even more than usual, that would all be a concern. And we mentioned that Reb Shlomo Zalman, in the context of his objection, he said if you're going to have this practice, it shouldn't be called stealing, because that itself has a corrosive effect, and making clear that it's not stealing is important, and therefore all the limudim of schus, which are themselves always valuable, also contribute to that. So the bottom line, I mentioned there are many other minhagim that exist that surround this Gemara of what we do to keep the children awake, and they don't necessarily have to involve having the child steal it. And again, the minhag in my own household, and I happened just to notice this in a sefer just 1 minute before beginning, noticed that in the sefer Berkas Moedacha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Shnaya, so the way he records it is exactly the way I'm familiar with also. It's the minhagenu b'afikomen shagodol machbi afikomen v'akot b'mechafso, that practices that the adults hide the afikomen, and the children are tasked with looking at it, but that's a game that keeps them awake and alert, and that's indeed my experience as well, that having the children have the mission of trying to find the afikomen that's been hidden by the parents, that accomplishes the same goals without necessarily bringing up any of these concerns. But again, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elokim Chaim, there are various facts about this, and we're just here to be mayor on some of the issues. Okay, so I wish everyone a wonderful day. Should be safe and happy and healthy. And I look forward to seeing you 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.